The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 29. It is not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. And that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who, by a word, make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea, turn aside him who was in the right. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? This is the word of the Lord. Stand. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." You may be seated. There's many extraordinary things in our gospel reading today. Even though it's not very long, there's a lot going on. Now, Jesus works a miracle to be sure. That's extraordinary by itself, to heal a man. Another aspect of this is here is God who was fully God and fully man, God in the flesh. He himself touches this man and he heals him. God touches this man. He doesn't just give him a divine wet willy when you think of it fitting his fingers in his ears, but he's actually putting his hands on him and healing him. But throughout all of this, though, we see God's mercy to his people. And you hear in this gospel reading of your Lord who has shown you mercy. And so when you look at this reading of this man being healed, you see that same mercy is for you too. Now, St. Mark's account begins with a little bit of an interesting detail. We're told this: Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. So here Jesus is passing through this region, and this is Gentile country, or really pagan country. This is a pagan area. The people in this area are ones who are, in general, not the people of Israel. And this comes up in various places in the Gospels, that this region is a place that Jesus would frequent through. A famous example of this, we think of the Canaanite woman who had a demon-possessed daughter, and she implores Jesus to heal her. So here in this reading, people bring to Jesus a man who couldn't hear, and he had a speech impediment. We don't know the reason why. We don't know if he was born with this, if this happened later, but we just know this is the situation. And here with this man having this issue, these people bring him to Jesus. They knew they needed to bring their friend, their family member, they needed to bring him to this man who alone could heal. They knew that Jesus is the one who shows mercy to his people. And so Jesus came into this sinful world to redeem his creation. He knew full well what had happened in the fall into sin, and the only answer was for him to reconcile the world to the Father. He had to justify his creation by his life lived according to God's law and his death offered as a sacrifice for sin. Only then would there ever be any real healing. Only then would there be forgiveness. Only then would there be life. Jesus knew this, and he experienced this as he walked this earth and what he came to do and accomplish. So when this man is laid before him, Jesus had compassion. He sees the consequences of sin and the state of living in this fallen world and suffering and illness, death all around, and he shows him mercy. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Now, a few other places in the Bible where this word for sighing is used is in Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 5. And in both of those instances, most often this word is translated not necessarily as sighing, but as groan or groaning. And it's a word that's used in the scriptures most often for when we talk about what our bodies do and what the fallen world is and what the state is, that we yearn for the resurrection of the dead. We yearn for new creation. We groan. We cry out. The older you get, the more you understand the meaning of that word. It's rooted, though, in hope of what is to come, as God has promised it will be on that day. And so our Lord sighs, he groans, he cries out, and he shows this man mercy. Because he alone is the one who has the power as God in the flesh and acts with that authority given him to do, to work this miracle and give a glimpse into the life to come. Jesus exercises his power to heal and to save. And there is no corruption, no deceit, no selfishness in what he does. He acts out of his grace and his mercy. He restores what has been broken and tainted by sin. He heals and sets free those who are in bondage and its consequences by his whole life, his atoning death, and his glorious resurrection. And he preaches that truth which sets you free. For he himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He shows you mercy today, even as he preaches to you. And so Jesus shows you mercy, and he has worked a miracle for you. He knows your state. He knows what is rightly due this fallen world. He knows the assaults of the devil. He knows what sin has brought about and what it means to live in this world. He even knows what it is to die. Outside of Christ, there are only sin, darkness, and death. Jesus, though, is the righteous one. He is the Word made flesh. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So your Lord is the one who shows you mercy, even as he has opened your ears, as he has released your tongue. And God shows you that you need to have God speak to you and act to bring you into his kingdom and make you a Christian. I must confess that one of the things we learned in Liturgics 1, when we were learning how to conduct services and read the readings, is that my professor drilled in us, always read every reading ahead of time before you lead the service. And I didn't do that today. And in our lectionary, that one of the early editions, they leave out one of the verses. In our epistle reading today, they left out verse 17. So it stops, so I need to change that for the second service. So the one time you don't do it, forget. But here we hear in Romans 10, and it sums it up well, that what St. Paul lays before us by divine inspiration as he walks through what it means to confess the Lord, to believe, but then how does this happen? How? What does this mean? How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And this is what was left out, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so as Lutherans, we take that for granted sometimes, that God actually works this miracle, that he gives us faith. Because without God preaching to you and using his means of grace, you wouldn't believe in Jesus. You need God to give you faith. And it's something so obvious, but something that we just kind of take as an afterthought. It's been a blessing. I've lately had this discussion with a lot of people of faith being a gift, because it's not always taught in American Christianity. The gift of faith and being able to speak the things of God is nothing short of a miracle. It's not really anything different than Jesus opening the eyes of the man who is physically blind, opening the ears of the deaf, giving words to those who cannot speak. The muteness, the stubbornness, the deafness, the ignorance of our sin is such that we can't see God or come to him on our own. But God's merciful. And his mercy and grace extend to the fact that he takes us, who can't believe in him, who can't turn to him, are turned against him because of sin, and gives us faith to trust in him and what he has done for us. And if that isn't miraculous, I don't know what is. But that's what he's done. That's what he's done for you. That's what he does as he preaches Christ to sinners. That's a wonderful thing, yet regarded as foolishness to the world. And so God is the one who creates faith completely on its own. It may be easy for those who have faith to believe God would save us by his grace alone and without anything we have done or can do, but then when it comes to faith, we always want to add the yeah, but to it. We want to somehow claim ownership that we've decided, that we've responded with a decision, or somehow play some part, however small or minuscule, in faith. And you can tell a lot, too, by how we talk about faith. When we talk more about faith of my faith and that being the end-all be-all, we're in danger of turning faith into a quality in our lives rather than an instrument which receives Christ and its benefits. It's not wrong to talk that way, but always ask ourselves these questions. What do I mean by all of this? It also runs the risk of seeing our faith as the cause of things, good, bad, in our lives. For example, this bad thing happened because I didn't have enough faith, or I need to just have more faith, then I'll be able to endure it. But like salvation by grace alone, if faith is not completely, solely, and utterly a gift and work of God, then what is faith other than something we contribute to save ourselves? One of the most common ways of teaching salvation by works today is not just saying that your good works save you, but when faith is seen in terms of our own action. But if faith is a gift, and it is, then God's grace and mercy are far-reaching beyond measure. Faith is what God has given to you as he has said to you, be opened, as he has converted you to believe in Christ unto salvation. He has worked this miracle, and he also keeps you in this faith. With those same things the Holy Spirit gave you faith, the means of grace, he also is the one keeping you and guarding you in the faith. And when you forget that or separate yourself from the word and sacraments, you are placing your faith into your own hands again, and it will not end well. Faith will die, and you will perish eternally. But God is able, and he will surely keep and preserve in that which he has already given to you. God will not, nor will he ever fail, because he alone is faithful. He alone guards and keeps you. He is merciful. And so those things of God, the things of life, heard and understood only in faith. They don't come by your own power or your own reason or strength. And likewise, a new life in Christ turns from sin and desires all that is righteous, good, true, beautiful. It comes from and flows out of your Lord who has atoned for your sin and in the righteousness of God that he has given to you through faith. As Christians, the gospel has called you. Your ears have been opened to hear the words of Jesus and know that these words are for you and they are the words of eternal life. So when you hear a reading like this today of this man's ears being opened, don't take that for granted that God has done that to you. Always remember who you are. Always remember that you have been given ears to hear. You have been given a tongue that has been released. Jesus has worked that miracle of faith in your life. And your life lives this faith out every day in what you say and do. And with that loosened mouth, you confess Jesus in your life now as you have been given this faith in him and from him. Because when you hear Jesus, then you begin to speak correctly, for God has given you his word, the Holy Scriptures. That word here in the reading used for plainly in the reading is the word orthos, which is the word where we get the word orthodoxy, right teaching, or literally right praise. Along with you think of orthodontics, which give you right or straight, correct teeth. So this man is healed by Jesus and speaks rightly as a Christian does, whose ears have been opened to hear God's word, and that same word placed on his lips. As Psalm 51 says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. So God in his great mercy gives you the very words by which you speak of Christ and his church, by which you confess this faith that has been given to you and your family, to your friends, and the world around you. This is called confession. It says back what God has said to you through his word, and you speak what he speaks to you. It's the voice of a loosened tongue set free to speak the words of Christ. It says back what God has said to you, and you confess the Christian faith which has been handed down through the ages, this orthodox faith. And so you know who Jesus is this morning. You know he is your Lord who has redeemed you. A lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from all sin, death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that you may be and are his own. That's Jesus, the one in the reading who they says does all things well, because he's more than just some miracle worker. He's God in the flesh. He's the one who has shown you mercy to save you, and he has. He's the one promised of old by the prophets in whom all the fullness of God dwells. He's the one of whom it is said in that Old Testament reading, "In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see." And it's that same God, the one prophesied, the one in the reading, the one who even speaks to you now, who has called you his own. And you are his, and he's yours. That's who he is and who you are in all of this as you hear this word and listen with those ears of your God-given faith. So see this work, Jesus work this miracle for this man, and know that this is also for you, because Jesus did and does extraordinary things. And Jesus gives you hope in this too, because he preaches to you and you hear Jesus clearly and you confess this Lord who has worked this miracle today, and know that your Lord will also, even as he healed this man, raise you up on the last day. And in this, there is hope. He has shown you mercy, and he will show you mercy throughout your whole life as you face times of rejoicing, times of suffering, even times of death, because your Lord is pointing you to that glory beyond compare, which is to come. Your Lord does and do all things well. He took your sin upon himself so that you have peace with God through his blood shed for you. Jesus is crucified for you. He has risen from the dead, and you will rise from your grave as well. And he still intervenes in your life. You are baptized into Christ. You have the Holy Scriptures. You've been gathered into the Holy Christian Church. And he himself feeds you with his own body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't ever doubt for one iota of an instant that Jesus isn't working in your life right now, or that he never shows you mercy or will stop showing you mercy. So, dear people of God, hear these words of Jesus today. Repent of your sin and humble yourselves before the Lord. Live out your life in the words of the gradual. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad." Behold your Lord in the flesh. See Jesus and what wonders he has done in healing this man, and rejoice that he has done miraculous things for you too. He has redeemed you by his blood. He has given you faith which clings to him. Rejoice in the miracle performed intervening in this man's life, and see a glimpse of what you will see when the Lord raises you up from the grave, where there is no more sin, where there's no more suffering, where there's no more death. For Jesus has redeemed you, soul and body. And the day is coming when he will return in triumph on the clouds with the voice of an archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God. On that glorious day and miraculous day, you will be with him and all of God's saints in a glory beyond compare. And that day will be the eternal day, where your eyes fully see, where you rightly can see what your faith has been confessing, when you hear with your own mouth the praise, or hear with your own ears the praises of God's people, and your tongue will fully proclaim the excellencies of him who bought you, and join with the angels and archangels and with all of God's saints in singing praises to the Lamb and feasting at his banquet forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.